This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
All right, let's get right to it. Nice of this gentleman to carve out some time because he's been knee-deep in the draft last night. He's going to be on our coverage again starting at 7. And that's ESPN's very own GM, Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, how you doing today?
Great, Mike. How are you?
Doing very well. We just spoke with Zach Wilson, and you know he's in a word, impressive. So we know how you feel about him. You've been on with us before. How do you feel about the move the Jets made to move up and pick what many consider the best offensive guard in the draft?
Yeah, I like Vera Tucker. I think he has a chance to start at guard. Sounds like they're going to put him at left guard. You know, he had one bad game against Oregon, but, you know, he had a hamstring injury that week. He was going against a guy that may be a top 10 pick next year. So I thought that was a good move. I know some people are quibbling over how much it costs, but look, if he turns out to be a frontline starter, no one's going to care if it was a extra third-round pick. So I thought that was a good move.
Do you think Jenkins can be a pick here today to just further improve that offensive line, or would they go elsewhere?
Yeah, I would think they could go running back or possibly – pass rusher here. Here's the other thing I think they did a really good job of. They were able to make that trade and keep this pick coming up, which is a real premium pick. They should get a starter, so it could be a tackle, but I would expect possibly a running back or, like I said, pass rusher.
Now let's talk Giants. So they did trade back, first time in Dave Gettleman's nine-year career in making picks. He traded down. Did you like the trade? Were you surprised that Chicago gave up next year's first rounder? And then did you like the pick?
I love the trade. I didn't like the trade. I loved it. I thought they really maximized value. They got a 1 and a 4 next year to go back 9 spots. The pick, though, really stunned me for a number of reasons. When you look at the Giants, you know, Nate Solder is coming back. He's there possibly for a year. Christian Darrisaw is there. They also are in desperate need of a good pass rusher. Quiddy Pay was there. Quiddy Pay is going to be, I think, an above average to very good pass rusher. We know how expensive they are. And when you look at the fact that they took a wide receiver, they signed John Ross, who's very fast. We'll see how he does. They signed Kenny Galladay to a massive contract. Darius Slayton's a good player. Sterling Shepard's a good player. And Evan Ingram, who is listed as a tight end, is a good receiver. So the fact that they moved back, I thought, was really smart. I just don't know why they want receiver in round one, especially where there's so many good receivers mm-hmm. still on the board.
So, but we're trying to figure out, Mike, We know they have depth at wide receiver. We know they spent money during the offseason to improve the wide receiving core. So they must know that. So what could be some of the reasons why they felt like they needed to add? Are they not completely happy with what they have?
Well, I was with Kadarius Toney in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. Ironically, that's where he's from. His build reminds a little bit of Santana Moss, where he's short, but he's really thick. You know, he's dynamic with the ball in his hands. Like, I'm sure they're going to get the ball on jet sweeps, behind the line of scrimmage screens, reverses. Like, he's dynamic with the ball in his hands. I just don't know. Like I said, they've really addressed the wide receiver position well before Kadarius Toney. And if you're sitting there and still want to get somebody else, there's going to be a number of good receivers that are going to go over the tonight over the next two rounds. So, again, it just didn't make sense to me.
All right, so when I look at a trade like that, Mike, it gets me to thinking. Dave Gettleman's 70 years old, and my feeling is that if the Giants don't make the playoffs this year, he's probably going to be phased out. I'm not going to say fired, but phased out. And I remember we once had Brian Cashman on with us. He's on with us a lot. And we asked him about a trade that, you know, might not be good for now, but it could be good for later. He might not be here. He said, I've got to think about the future of the organization. But as a GM, why is Dave Gettleman – care about picking a first-round pick for next year when he might not be here? Wouldn't it be better to be at 11 and pick a player that's going to help you right now that might help you keep your job?
Well, look, they're not one player away, so you're always trying to add players. Again, they only moved back 9 spots and picked up a lot of value, and I think it speaks to Dave's character and integrity that you always have to do what's in the long-term best interest
right.
of the franchise, even if it's personally not best for you. And when you have the privilege of one of these jobs, that's the way you always have to do it. And I think that's one of the reasons Dave, you know, has served as a GM in two different spots. And knowing Dave, like, he's always going to put the team first.
All right. You worked with Bill. You know Belichick. You know the Patriots thinking. did they always want Mac Jones, or could they not get something done to move up to get Fields?
Yeah, I think Mac Jones was their guy. And I'll tell you what, like, just telling the story, guys, like those are the most agonizing moments. I give them so much credit. I would have traded up if I was them for Mac Jones. I would have when once Fields went to Chicago, I would have been really nervous if I was them about two teams, Pittsburgh and Washington. And as Mac Jones is falling, his price is getting more reasonable for those two teams. I would have called up Minnesota, and I would have flipped picks for a three or a four just to box out those other teams. And when I saw that trade go down between Minnesota and the Jets, I was like, I can't believe how smart and how good this worked out for New England, that Belichick could get his quarterback of the future, who some thought was going to go in the top three 2 hours earlier at 15, and gave up nothing for it.
See, now, not that I question you, Mike, but I don't. If Mac Jones is your guy, it almost seems like it's irresponsible to not move up and get him. So you're going to sit there and hope that the other teams don't jump you? I mean, how do you know that that's not going to happen?
Yeah, totally fair. I mean, that's why, like I said, like I was getting, like, you know, we're sitting there doing the broadcast, and Bart keeps going back to, like, boy, this is falling well for New England. This is falling well for New England. And it worked out. And Vets coach, he does not believe, you know, he doesn't move up a lot. You know, doesn't give up a lot of picks. This is the first time in 26 years that he took a quarterback in the first round. And he only had taken one in the second round, Jimmy Garoppolo. So it was really magical to watch it all happen last night.
All right, so let's talk about what the Bears did. Did they give up too much to move up? And do you think Justin Fields now becomes the best quarterback in that division if they trade Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I don't think they gave up too much from a standpoint. Like, we got to remember something. Like, and I've been critical of Chicago, but they did make the playoffs a year ago. That one, you know, you're hoping if you're a Bear fan, isn't high. You know, if they make the playoffs again, it's probably somewhere in the 20s. Mm-hmm. So, look, Justin Fields could very well be the first pick overall, you know, in next year's draft. I think he's clearly better than Dalton and Nick Foles. I think he'll play right away. And if Rodgers is traded, you can make the case they may have the best quarterback situation of anybody in the NFC North. And I think that's why it's one of the many reasons, guys, people love the NFL. Just think about that. You know, 72 hours ago, we're probably talking about Chicago's in disarray. Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers, you know, an all-time great. And now, literally, in a course of hours, Chicago's quarterback situation actually remarkably looks significantly better than Green Bay because, you know, the reports out of Jordan on Jordan Love are not encouraging thus far.
All right, so let's say you're in Green Bay, Mike. What do you do? What do you do with Rodgers?
You fly, you find him, you take your yellow pad, and you just keep asking questions, and you just figure out a solution. And whatever it takes to make him fulfilled, happy, it could be legacy, it could be maybe doing something post-playing career. You figure out what would make him fulfilled to want to make him stay.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, now, Mike, you know me a little bit. You know I'm spiteful and vindictive. So if I'm the Packers and you do fly out and you beg him and you get down on your knees, he says, I want out. Could the Packers just say, you know what, now you can rot. You're not going to play anywhere. If you don't play for us, you're not going to play at all. Can you play that card?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he signed a contract. A contract means something. With that said, though, at some point we would – go behind closed doors as we were running the Packers, despite our spitefulness and vindictiveness, and say, Okay, what's in our best interest? What's in our best interest is to trade Aaron Rodgers and get some value, because we could let him rot here, but while that may be, you know, making us feel good for 5 minutes, that's truly not in the organization's best interest. Now, ironically, 20 years ago, I was involved with the Brett Favre trade, and Green Bay at the time was very clear they were not going to trade him to an NFC team. So, likewise, I'm sure Green Bay saying if they can't work things out with Aaron Rodgers, teams like, in my opinion, Denver or Las Vegas become the natural landing spot for
them. But my rot, you know, thing that I would be to force him to play, because I'm sorry, I don't see him becoming the permanent host of Jeopardy. And although he's made a lot of money, this guy is just coming off an MVP season. Doesn't the Rot move actually force him to play for you?
Yeah. Now, but if you're him, you would say, like, look, I'm engaged. I'm going to marry an actress. She's obviously going to be in L.A. I'm from Northern California. I'm either going to do Jeopardy, get involved with other things, and at some point I'll play, but I'm not going to play in Green Bay. And if I have to do what Carson Palmer did, you know, several years ago with the Cincinnati Bengals, I'm prepared to do that.
Now, tell me how it works, Mike, because we were speculating about this yesterday. So, say you wanted to make the deal with San Francisco last night, but you don't want to take the cap hit. You want to wait till after June 1st. Could you work something out with San Francisco where they select for you at three with a handshake understanding that on June 1st you can complete the deal for Rodgers?
Well, you know, it's funny. 2 days ago when we did the special on ESPN New York, we asked Ernie, you know, to reconstruct the Eli Manning trade, and that's basically what happened. It's a little bit different, though. I mean, you certainly could try to do that, Don, but it's a handshake. It's not enforceable. And if something happened or someone changes their mind from, you know, whatever it is, April 29th to June 1st, you know, somebody could be left in a very uncomfortable position. So that's a really hard thing to do. Those things happen on the clock once in a while. It's just very hard to enforce it. So that's why teams don't want to put themselves in a very, you know, tenuous position.
All right, final thing, Mike. So the 49ers make that trade. Was Trey Lance the guy all along? Were they just sending out subterfuge so we can be fooled? And do you think it was a reach? And does this mean that Garoppolo stays and you ease him in slowly?
Yeah, I was a little perplexed that, you know, there was no, I don't know what they were bluffing about or not saying. Like, clearly Lawrence was going one, Zach Wilson was going two, and then, you know, they were on the clock for a quarterback. They were going to give up two first-round picks and a third, you know, for a tight end. So
right.
That was a weird story. Like, I don't know why they did it the way they did. I think what's really remarkable is, you know, a decade ago I was criticized for drafting Mark Sanchez, who only started 13 games as a, you know, his last year at USC. And Trey Lance threw 318 passes in his career at an FCS school, started one game this year. I mean, that's really remarkable. And he needs to sit for a year. So, Michael, I think for sure you keep Garoppolo, and this is a little bit like Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes.
Do you see the ceiling that they see in Lance? I'm sure you've looked at whatever tape is involved with him. He doesn't have much, but do you see the ceiling?
Yeah, I like him. I mean, he looks like a Ryan Tannehill, Josh Allen, like a young Ben Roethlisberger from a standpoint of, I think he's very athletic. He needs to sit, though, because, again, it's a massive difference going from the FCS level to the NFL, but there's a lot of things to like about him. I think with Kyle Shanahan, he lost two Super Bowls with Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Ryan, pocket passers, and I think because of that, getting a more athletic quarterback for him, you know, makes a lot of sense.
Once again, Mike, you've been unbelievable leading up to this and last night and tonight. I'm sure you'll be great as well, so thank you for carving out some time for us.
I really appreciate it. It's great to be on with you guys, and yeah, next 2 days should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Mike. So the whole group will be together on ESPN Radio tonight at 7. And again, I'm not shilling, you know, whatever. It's really good. If you're in the car and you're not going to be watching on TV, it's really good. I mean, they've got really good information. And Mike is looking at it through a prism that you don't really get GMs like that on the air that much. And he knows what goes on behind the scenes. So I thought it was fascinating listening last night. I really did.
Well, listen, I may give the draft a hard time, but between Mike on radio and Riddick on TV, I mean, we have the best.
Yeah, outstanding stuff. All right, you've heard from Zach. You heard from Mike, the overview of the first round. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.